Yay!
Okay, I am recording.
Grunt birthday party! Yay!
I don't know what's happening. Please just hit the button.
Already.
No, just stop.
I was doing the grunt birthday party.
Nobody wants to see that. No one wants to hear it. No one wants anything to do with it.
Yay! Everyone loves grunt birthday party.
If you say so. Well, welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
I am Scott.
And I'm Steven.
And we are Soul of a Gamer.
Yes.
Every week we play a game, we tell you about it. That's pretty much it.
That's what we do. We play the entire game, though. That's the kicker. That's our difference. That's what we do different.
Yeah. Last week's game, we hope you enjoyed it. It was...
Oh, God, you're going to... Yeah. Mega Man Battle Network.
Yep, Mega Man Network Battle, if you're cool enough. I like Network Battle so much better than Battle Network. I don't know why. It's just rearranging the words.
But I mean, I fair. Like it better. Kind of like we like the dog's life or a dog's life better than just dog's life.
Yeah, for sure. Like, there's the little differences are important.
They are. They really are. Go!
Okay. No. Sorry, guys. I had to shut my door.
Yeah.
So, we played Battle Network last week. We really enjoyed that game.
Yeah.
It was a weird one. Some ups, a lot of downs, so... It's one of those games that it's hard to get into later in life. It's probably easier if we both played it as like kids and enjoyed it.
Oh,
I was the only one who did that.
So many of the older games, like going back to now, it's so much more difficult, and it's like you care so much more about a lot of the things, and like you just hate a lot of the nuances and like tiny things that are just irritating.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, we like that game. But this week's game, very different.
Yes, it's our first requested game, or one of our first requested games.
Yep, and it is a doozy of a request.
Yes.
We are going back into our sequel series with Halo 2.
Yes. The third one that we're doing of this franchise. It's definitely a franchise we love, so that's not... I saw it coming. Yeah.
But let's just jump right into this with our first segment.
What's on the box?
And I actually have the original box in hand.
The OG box.
Yes. All right.
What a fucking boomer.
I know, right? But I will say the cover still looks great today. I mean, it's just showing him with two dual-wielding some SMGs.
Yeah.
Hunched over the city skyline.
Most useless combo in the game.
Yeah. But you can dual-wield now, so that's the important thing.
Yeah, I know that's what they were trying. And that's the... I think that's the box from the original concept of Halo 2 that got scrapped.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Nice. All right, so... Earth will never be the same. Start transmission. The destruction of Halo slowed the Covenant, but it did not stop them. Fueled by faith, fury, and vengeance, they have swept aside all our defenses and gained a foothold on the most precious prize of all, Earth. With the human military scattered and crushed, the fate of the planet lies in the hands of one man, Spartan 117, the Master Chief. But resourceful and tenacious as he is, the Master Chief will have to rely on new weapons, unexpected allies, and a secret so incredible it will change the galaxy forever.
Yeah, that's a pretty good box.
Yeah, it's not
bad. Doesn't give too much away. Doesn't exactly reveal a lot, but I mean, you get the gist of it. If you played Halo 1, you know what Halo 2 is, kind of deal.
Yeah, and I have to give sequel boxes a little bit of graciousness because you already have a ton of story with playing the first one. Most boxes assume you're playing through the entire story, so I mean, as far as the back of the box goes, it shows some different clips of different things, like you holding the energy sword. It shows you like stealing a ghost. It shows some like multiplayer scenes. It's pretty decent, honestly.
Okay, nice.
Still holds up.
You know, when I was playing the game, I couldn't remember. I thought the sword was infinite ammo.
No.
In the original.
In the original what?
In like the Halo 2, the OG Halo 2. I played the Master Chief Collection version, so I don't remember if the sword was original. Because I remember that being like a big weird thing.
I remember, I think there was like a thing in the multiplayer to get an infinite glitch sword that had like infinite life, but I don't think there was ever an infinite sword, like necessarily. Not that I remember. Maybe I'll have to plug in the old one just to...
Yeah, I played the game a ton. I think the sword in the original was infinite. We'll have to double check that, guys, but I thought about it while I was playing, and then I didn't really look into it afterwards.
Well, maybe I'll have to pull out my original... I'll have to put the game disc actually in, because I also played off the Master Collection.
I mean, it's probably a quick Google... Probably a quicker Google search than it is to start up a fucking old school Xbox.
Hey, you know, I'm not about the quick ways sometimes, you know?
Yeah, true. All right, well, yeah, that was the box. It was a good box. It was okay.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, let's move on.
Are we in?
All right, so what can you tell us about the cast and the audio?
Let's check it out here. I got it up over here. This is...
Stacked fucking, cast.
Yeah.
Stacked fucking, cast.
Like, hearing the cast again after not playing this for a while, you're like, oh my god, they pulled so many famous people into here.
Even just playing it again, I was like, oh my god, is that Ron Perlman? Oh my god.
Yeah, I know, right? You're like, oh my god, it's Ron Perlman. Some of these guys I know, some of them I don't. So if you know them, great, good for fucking you. Go fuck yourselves, I guess. So here we go.
Fair.
We have D. Bradley Baker.
Best voice actor.
I don't know who that is.
He does a lot of voice acting for, like, animal noises. So he's, like, Appa, he's Momo in the Avatar The Last Airbender series. Nice. He does a ton of things for, like, different Spider-Man characters, I think, too. So.
Right. Nice. Yeah. Well, he plays Gravemind. Julie Benz plays Miranda Keys. Hamilton Camp as Prophet of Mercy. Tim DeBato as 343 Guilty Spark and Marine Voices. Robert Davi as Spec Ops Leaders. Keith David as the Arbiter, which, yeah, that one I had no idea Keith until I reheard his voice.
Yeah,
when I first played the story of Halo 2 was so long ago, and then I reheard his voice, I'm like, that sounds like someone I know.
Yep. And
yeah Keith David is a huge voice actor,
Mass
in a lot of
Effects
cartoons.
yeah
and not just that, it's like everywhere, like literally he's in so much shit. It's not, I think he's in Archer
ridiculous.
For a little while.
Yep.
he's
on Community in season 5 and 6, I believe.
Yeah, the worst seasons.
I know, but it's still cool that he's on them. They're not the worst, but
they're
pretty
bad.
Especially 6. 6 is bad.
Yeah. Steve Downes is Master Chief, of course, and he played Master Chief throughout the entire franchise.
Yep.
Robin Atkin Downes, which I'm guessing they're related, as the Prophet of
Regret.
Miguel Ferrer as... as the heretic leader. So I think that was the white armored elite.
Yeah, I think so. Or no, wait. Was it the red armored elite?
Well, the heretic. Oh, yeah, you know, I know who you're talking about. Yes, the red armored elite. I'm thinking like his friend, because he was also a heretic leader later on.
Oh, true.
John Michael Higgins as 2401 Pentant Tangent, which I think was a computer.
Remember. Oh, okay.
Like it gets, or one of the other oracles or whatever they're called, the Guilty Sparks, and then Ron Perlman as Lord Hood. Of course, there's so many in here. I'm not going to name them all. The only one I will give is David Scully, who is not a very famous voice actor, only because you know he is Sergeant Johnson and Jen Taylor, who is Cortana.
Okay, I will also throw out Tartarus's voice actor, Kevin Michael Richardson. He plays so many roles. He was the Joker at one point. He plays Gantu in the Lilo and Stitch series. He was in How I Met Your Mother in one of my favorite episodes. David Cross is also in this.
He just plays random Marines, though.
And I know, but as other normal Marines, we also have Laura Prepon, which is Donna from That 70s Show, and Michelle Rodriguez from the Fast and the Furious franchise.
It's just, yeah, they
There's
really
huge
went
cast, yeah.
On Halo 2. I'm guessing that's why they had such a rushed release on it.
Maybe.
So, because remember, the game should have been released like a year before, then it got delayed, and it should have been delayed another year to get it done, but they rushed it and released it too soon.
Oh, you mean every Halo game?
Yeah, well, I mean, Halo 1 didn't do that.
And Halo Infinite had, like, the worst delays and stuff with that.
Yeah, but it's silly to expect, like, a huge-ass game like that at a, I don't know, a two-year game span when it takes, like, 5 years to make a fucking game. Yeah. But, yeah, so that's the whole cast, our composer here. Martin O'Donnell, right?
I think so.
Martin O'Donnell.
Which, fantastic. Fantastic soundtrack. I know we say this with all the Halo games, but they all have fantastic soundtracks. We said it's one of the best theme songs.
You can switch back between the new version of the Master Chief Collection and the old version. And in the new version, it's like a heavier, more upbeat sound, more stereo, more dynamic. Yeah. In the older version, it's still good. And I kind of like the more restrictive sound because it wasn't fucking as loud in your ears.
True.
But, the new sound is still good. It's not bad by any means. It's just weird.
I love the fact that if you're playing in the Master Chief Collection, you can go back and forth between graphics and audio of the old game. It's so unique, and I think every game should have that feature.
Yeah, yes and no. The old graphics, in some cases, I'm like, wow, they're so much better than the new ones. Why'd you add so many fucking trees? Like, literally, when you go outside the map, they literally tried to make it more difficult to go outside the map, and they added, like, obstructions outside the map. So in this one part where I jumped out of the map, they added a bunch of trees, and I'm like, oh, this is dumb as shit. And then I just like rolled around out there for a little while in the old graphics. I'm like, this is so much better. It's so much fun.
There is some amazing new graphics though that are just way too impressive.
Yeah.
Like great mind.
For sure. But yeah, the voice in this game, honestly, voice acting was perfect. There's nothing wrong with the voice acting. They did a really good job with the cast on this.
No, seriously. And the lines in this are really amazing. The dialogue's awesome, especially if you play with that would have been your daddy's goal. That's always entertaining. It's always funny.
I would have... The only thing I would have liked a little bit more is they really make the Marines a little bit too badass.
As far as, like, the way they sound, or...
Yeah, the way they sound while they're dying...
I mean, that's how every Marine tries to be, though.
Yeah, but then you realize that when you're in pain, you are nothing like what you imagine yourself to be like.
Oh, dude. Every Marine tries to go down without showing any pain.
Yeah, they could say that all they want, and then while they're going down, it's not... You know what? That is not a fun experience for anyone.
Okay,
so...
well, I just, like, rewatched Rambo, and he... Just dealt with a ton of shit, and he kept a straight face the entire time. They get trained to ignore pain.
It's really funny because like the grunts are more human than the humans are.
Fair.
Because they're the ones who freak out. Like, and there's points in there where like he's like, "We can't do this, Sarge. We gotta get out of here. We're all gonna die." And then Sarge is just like, "Oh, stow it, Marine." And you're like, "What? That's all you had to do? It's smack him in the face, I guess, if you really want to get him to calm down." Got some serious PTSD right there. He probably should like chill out.
I mean, there's PTSD anytime war is involved.
Yeah, like I don't know. It's just interesting. It's interesting how they made the Marine. It's almost like they made this game to be more of a. It's just you know how they made a couple
fantasy?
Games and they were no. They made it to be a recruitment thing. Remember when they did that with a few other games? Like, they made games to be recruitment games?
Well, I mean, they did that with both the Top Gun movies. Like, the Navy actually, like, funded those movies and helped produce those movies.
Yeah, but not just that. Remember, they did it with that fucking game that came out in, like, the...
Oh, was it like America's 2000... Army?
Yeah, something like U.S. Army or something like that.
I think it's America's Army, because,
Either way, like, but that was, like, a game that came out that a bunch of kids were playing. And kids were like, I'm going to join the Marines. And I'm like, oh, my God, what is wrong with them? They're fucking assholes.
Well,
they're literally changing kids' minds as kids.
That's why we have games also like Helldivers, which kind of does the same thing that Starship Troopers does and mocks that whole thing and makes you a voiceless, like, hey, yeah, this is your training. You get to train how to jump and dive and shoot and die. That's your training.
You did it. Like, because the propaganda in these games are pretty serious, and I wouldn't be surprised if the propaganda in this, because someone on the creative side of the team was a Marine or something.
Oh, I mean,
it's just interesting.
100%. And I mean, most military friends or people that I know all play all the military games, and a lot of them grow up playing those games and decided they wanted to do that themselves. Like, it's fully real.
Yeah, and then they go in, they're like, I didn't want to do this. Yeah. I'm a dumbass. Yeah, well, I fucked up.
It's not worth free college.
Right. This is not even free college. I'm going to spend 2 years out of a 6-year contract to get free college. But yeah, the voice acting, though, and the fucking music, phenomenal for this game.
Seriously.
To be honest, very fucking good. So, yeah, let's move on.
All right.
How does it play?
All right, now we talk about the mechanics and how it plays. Yep.
So in the gameplay of this game, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably the most brutal game to play on Legendary.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
I've seen the list of the worst legendaries in Halo, and this is always on the top.
Mm-hmm.
Every fucking time, because this one is by far the fucking hardest. I did the first 3 levels on Legendary, and it took me 7 hours. And I'm like, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to switch to fucking easy, because this is really fucking annoying.
I switched to easy because I was like, this is like my 8th time playing through this.
I've done Legendary on it before. Me but too. It's the most punishing fucking Legendary in the world. Checkpoints are way more, they're scattered. They're not really like prepared checkpoints. So you can
yeah.
you only get them when enemies die. You don't get them when like you're safe or anything. And the health system in this actually got worse. The shields recharge faster, but you have less shields.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, they recharge faster, but you actually have a less variant for how much shield health you have.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have as much like regular health. So like literally there is no bonus for you in 2. You get nothing out of getting upgraded armor.
And everyone complains so much about the aiming of the enemies in 2 as opposed to all the other ones, especially the Jackals. The Jackals do not miss.
They're not only not missed, they're all headshots.
One-shot kills.
All of them.
One-shot kills every time.
I died so many times going down that one alley.
Yeah, in the outskirts.
In the second level. Yep. Yeah, God, I fucking hated it. It was so hard to get through there, but eventually you do. You learn to, like, cheese a little bit. You could get out of the map and, like, skip some sections, which I tried. Yeah.
That's my favorite level to break, yeah.
Yeah. It's fun to break these levels. Like, guys, the best part about this game is just fucking around.
Oh, 100%.
On that level, I just went and got the Scarab gun just to do it, you know, just to have fun.
Yeah.
I upped explosion damage and explosion range.
Mm.
So the Scarab gun, one shot would kill like 25 enemies.
Jeez. So yeah, I was almost debating it because I saw like in the new version of the game, you can actually, there's a skull you can put on to make every gun shoot a Scarab gun blast.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't see that, but I just, you know, I just went and got it because it was
that,
just classic.
And there's a way to put on infinite. There's a way to put on infinite ammo, and health and shield. So I was like, maybe I'm gonna play through it again another time and do it with every cheat on.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Do it on Legendary and see how long it takes you still, even though.
Seriously, that'd be actually interesting.
So. The general gameplay in this, you know, you have your shooting mechanics. They're mm-hmm. basically the same as Halo. You have a little bit more recoil and recourse to shooting than you did in the original Halo. The moving mechanics, same as the original Halo. There's no sprinting, no anything. You're kind of always on a steady pace.
Yeah.
Always moving really fast forward. Jumping's a little bit better in this game. They made it a little bit more streamlined than the original Halo, where you could easily just slide off things as if there was ice on fucking everything.
Vehicles are a little bit better in this one, too.
Yeah, you have a little bit. They're still not great, but they're better than the original.
Yeah.
Obviously, more choices for vehicles, whereas before you could only do the Banshee, Ghost, and Warthog, and Scorpion tank. Now you can do all those things, plus the Spectre. Plus,
and the Wraith.
The Wraith, and you can hijack shit, too, in this one, which you couldn't do in the original. So that was cool. Generally, they introduced a bunch of new guns in here. They took out the Assault Rifle, and that was one of the biggest complaints that they got, because people really like the Assault Rifle, and they brought it back for Halo 3, but it wasn't near the same.
Yeah.
They have the ammo capacity on it. They just made it a lot shittier.
They also took away the pistol from Halo 1 and replaced it with another crappy original
Magnum
pistol.
A Magnum, a little Magnum gun that had crappy shots, but you could dual wield them. They added the dual wield feature. SMGs are added. The Battle Rifle, which is actually the only one of the better guns they added,
and
the carbine, we'll say, are the two better guns they added.
100%.
And then the sword, of course, and the The grav hammer didn't come till Halo 3, I think. So not the
grav. We got to see the grav hammer from an enemy, yeah. But we didn't get to wield it on this one, yeah.
Yeah, so but you had the sword, which is something everybody yes. in the original Halo really wanted to use.
Yes. And it's still one of the most impactful and like recognizable weapons today.
Yeah, well, it's weird because in the original, you know, every time you killed an enemy with the sword, it just broke.
I don't remember.
You don't remember that? Like, literally, you kill an enemy, and then they die, and the sword breaks in their arm, and you're like, why does it do that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it doesn't dissipate, like, because it's an energy sword. You would think, like, the energy would dissipate around or something. Yeah. Instead, it just breaks, and you can't pick it up or anything because it's broken. And you're just like, why the fuck would they do this? So it was cool that I got to actually play with the sword and stuff, although it's not crazy useful. In Legendary, it's basically fucking worthless, and all you're doing is throwing yourself in front of enemies to die.
Yeah, because that lunge, you die on your way to them most of the time.
Yeah, literally, that's the insanity of the Legendary. Yeah. That's another thing let's talk about. The fucking discrepancy between Easy and Legendary is insane.
It's astronomical, the difference.
This game is literally, I did not lie, it is the worst Legendary of any Halo. It's one of the most difficult difficulty spikes in the entire fucking gaming community.
2, 4, and 5 are the worst for Legendaries.
Yeah, well, and 4 and 5 aren't even a competition because you actually get more shit to help you out. 2, you get nothing. There's no fucking bubble shields. There's no extra deploys from killing a lot of enemies. Like, it's literally just fucking you die. That's it. That's all you get.
I mean, that's fair.
So it's just, it's quite literally fucking insane. So
yeah, and Easy, if you've played this game before and you know your way around the map, you can finish every level in about 12 minutes, and you can finish the game in probably about 3 or 4 hours.
Well, kind of. No, it still takes
About 4 hours. I think it took me about 4 hours.
Yeah, because you have the waiting. The other thing about this game is they have these stupid waiting moments, which are really annoying.
Yeah, there's a lot of elevator moments and stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of verticality in this game, which I do appreciate, because not a lot of games have big verticality, but there is way too many elevator sequences in this game.
I don't know if verticality is a word, is it?
Verticality, yeah.
You mean vertical play?
It's the same thing.
Is it? I didn't know verticality was a word.
It'd be funny I've if always
looked it up right now.
I've always I mean, I'll look it up right now for you, but no, I've always it's not worth it. I've always used it as far as gameplay, and a lot of other people use it too.
There is a lot of vertical play in this game for sure. Although they did introduce jetpacks in this game and then nobody gets it, which is really shitty. Remember the elites have jetpacks.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
The elites have jetpacks, but you don't get them, which is kind of annoying. It'd be really cool if you did, but you don't get those to Halo Reach. So just a little annoying.
Verticality is a word.
It sounds stupid.
No, you sound stupid for not knowing it's a word.
No, stupid. It's just some things they introduced in this game, and if you guys ever heard of the original demo for Halo 2, it is so different from what it ended up being.
I never played the original demo.
Oh god, you missed out, dude. The original demo, literally, they had it was doing the outskirts mission, basically. That's what you did.
Okay.
Completely different.
Okay.
They introduced a 8-person warthog.
Oh.
Not in Halo 2, but in Halo 3. They introduced a battle rifle that was single shot. A DMR. Not in Halo 2, in Halo Reach.
Yeah.
They tried all these things and they couldn't get them to work properly on the normal game, so they changed things to make it a little easier for them to manage.
That 8-person warthog, was that the golden warthog?
No.
Okay, that's a different thing separately.
Yeah, that's a completely different thing altogether. But they introduced so much cool shit.
Yeah,
and it was so cool to like see the demo and then get the game and be like, all the stuff you promised in the demo isn't here. What happened? they had 4 different kinds of grenades.
Interesting.
Which they introduced in Halo 3.
I was gonna say the brute spike grenade and the
and the firebomb grenade. All those things were in Halo 2, but they just decided that they couldn't implement it well.
Okay.
And they were rushed for time. Like, the problem is when you're rushed for time like that, you just don't have fucking time to code.
Yeah.
So they needed a Christmas release, I think it was, back in the day, and they just didn't have the time to push it back, and they couldn't push it back because of like people invested in the price of it. It's just like fucking Black Flag or whatever the new game is, Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones, yeah.
They need a lot more time on it, and they release it, and then it ends up being not that good because Singapore wants it out because they paid for it.
That's fucking 40% of the games that are coming out recently, and all yeah. popular games, pretty much. Now,
to be fair, Skull and Bones has been on the back burner for 10 fucking years, so they should have their fucking shit together, and they fucking don't. So, yes. You know what? Fuck those guys.
And to also be fair, they spent way less time working on Black Flag, and yeah. that's a way better game in every way, shape, or form, including graphics. Make no, that make sense.
Well, they should have just taken the Dota lesson, right?
Yeah.
They just fucking mod the shit out of the original game, and then that's the new game.
I mean, that's how we got a lot of different games.
Yeah, that's how...
I mean, that's how a lot of games...
Counter-Strike,
just...
I think, came...
No, that came from Half-Life.
Yeah, I know, it's Counter-Strike.
That's you said how
Counter-Strike?
Oh, yeah.
That's how Counter-Strike came yes. around. That's how Dota came around.
I thought you were saying Counter-Strike came from Dota. I was like, League of Legends came from Dota, and StarCraft came from Dota, and a bunch of other things.
No. Dota wasn't a game.
Oh, yeah, Dota was also
Dota was
a mod. A
mod
from
yeah,
something else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying these games are mods from another game. Okay. That was Warcraft 3, I think.
That's right. So, yeah. But then
yeah, all these,
the other
all these modded games.
Modded versions of that what came other games. I was like, what?
Yeah, well, and Dota just ended up being its own game. Counter-Strike just ended up being its own game. Like, they just take these games' ideas and they say, well, we own it anyway, so let's just fucking steal it from the people who made it. Let's hire them on. Get them in here.
Right? Why not?
Like, literally, why? I don't know why Black Flag people didn't just take that code and mod the fuck out of it, and then they take that mod and make it better. That would have been the smart move.
It would have been, but they didn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure someone did mod it and make it exactly how it should be, so.
Oh, there's going to be someone out there who mods Skull and Bones to be exactly what everyone wants it to be. And when that happens, it's going to be great.
I don't think the only... You could probably try. That's a much bigger... Like, back in the day, it was easier to mod games.
Dude, the way that people are modding nowadays, it's insanity.
Yeah. You could probably just give it to ChatGPT and it'll mod it for you.
Don't. ChatGPT sucks still.
It does, but it's still... It's better with coding than it is with other things.
That's fair. Coding's pretty binary.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, for the most part, this game's gameplay is really fucking good. I really do enjoy it. Just mm-hmm. that difficulty spike on Legendary is the only thing that I think they should have fucking fixed.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that literally blowed.
For sure.
Like, you'd have to... I remember playing the original Halo with my buddy,
mm-hmm.
Who had only played Halo 2.
Okay.
And we're playing together, and he's like, wow, this is a lot easier. Because we're playing on Legendary in the campaign. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, dude, Halo 2's Legendary is like 15 times harder than this. Yeah. I'm like, yes, I'm dying, but this is like, you can spawn while there's enemies still around you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, you can't do that in Halo 2. And he's like, no, you can't spawn until you clear out the entire fucking thing by yourself when you're in co-op mode.
Yep.
So, like, because we played the library, and later on we did this together too, but at the time, like, he's like, you just stay here and I'll keep spawning on you, and I'll go out there and I'll kill things and die, and then I'll spawn again, and then I'll just go out there, kill more things and die, and we'll keep repeating this until we get through the library.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, but then you can get an achievement in the Master Chief Collection that get through the library on Legendary without dying.
Well, isn't in the Master Chief Collection on Legendary, if you die in co-op, it goes back to the checkpoint? You don't even get the opportunity to keep going alone?
That's if you activate that skull.
Oh, okay, that's a certain skull.
You can activate a skull, and it takes you back to a checkpoint whether one of you dies or not.
Okay,
so,
never mind.
There's another achievement that lets you, you have to get through it without dying, so the whole plan is just have a co-op person there or plug in two controllers. And just hide one of your people in a corner and have the other person just keep go out and killing and dying.
Zach and I both, one of our friends, Zach, we both got banned several times for helping each other get achievements in the game, especially on the multiplayer achievements.
Yeah.
Well, it was for Halo 4 mainly. We got banned.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
But we did help each other try to get a bunch of multiplayer achievements, and we both got banned a couple different times.
It's crazy how they just ban people because they put bad achievements out there.
No, seriously, it's stupid. But the other thing we'll say about gameplay too. We did talk a little bit about game breaks. For those of you who know all the different game breaks, and they're so much fun. Whether you're doing the sword lunges, or the sword cancel climbing, or you're just breaking the map, or any of those, or super bouncing. That was another really big one.
Yeah, so those are all multiplayer things you can do. You can't do any of those in...
You can do all of those in the story.
Well, with co-op. You can't do any of those solo in the story.
You can do all of those solo in the story. Well, besides the sword cancel
sword
flying.
Canceling. You can't do sword canceling.
You can't do that one, but
super,
you...
Super jumps in the story, I don't think there are any in
there
the
are.
Story. Oh, there are? Okay, well, there's super jumps in the story, apparently. You can get out of the map a lot in the story, which is a lot of fun. There's a lot of wall breaks, which is really funny. Like, you can literally just glide up walls at some spots where there is a wall and just break right fucking through it. Because they didn't code the wall well enough, I guess.
The super bounce that I know of in the story is in the Metropolis level, and it's the only way to get the Scarab gun in the story. Like, naturally. Well, it's one of the only, like, hidden...
Naturally.
It's just, like, on the ground.
Oh, okay. Well, you mean, like you can just take the Banshee, and that only takes, like, a minute.
No, you have to super bounce out of it. You can't just break it with the Banshee on this spot.
No, you can get the Scarab gun with the Banshee.
Well, we're maybe talking about two different spots, then.
Yeah.
There might be multiple spots, but the only spot I was aware of that you could get the Scarab gun was a way you had to break the map.
There's only one spot for the Scarab gun. You just know one method of getting it. That's what
I'm
understanding.
Yes.
If you take a Banshee through that tunnel,
okay.
You can't get in the Banshee until the end of it, because if you get in, there's a wall that pushes you out and then blows you up.
Yeah.
You have to get to the very end, get him in that little tiny tunnel right before you're about to leave, and then you could break out and just fly around the fucking map. You can watch the Scarab. It's really funny. I got out and I watched the Scarab where it moves, and it goes to the city and then just disappears.
Okay.
It stops and it just vanishes because it spawns to another point in the map at that point, which is really funny.
Interesting.
It's fun to watch this stuff because you're like, okay, so they didn't code the full thing through because why the fuck would they? No one would be at this point in the game.
Yeah.
No,
there's
no one
so
should
many.
Be here right now.
There is a ton of game breaks, though, and a lot of speedrunners stuff for it, like just because of how many game breaks there is. There's times where you can skip almost entire levels right at the beginning of the level. Like
it's crazy.
Outskirts is one of the biggest
You could despawn all of the enemies in certain levels, and you're like, what the fuck is going on? What did they do to this game?
I kind of love it, though. Like, it's so much fun, and I still remember a lot of the game breaks, so it's funny. Like, I was playing it, and Jen was watching me, and she's like, did you just break out of the map? And I was like, oh, yeah. It's, like, one of the only games I know, like, half of all the game breaks, and I actually use them to progress through the story quickly.
Yeah, some of them are really cool. By the end of the game, you just get tired of jumping out of the map, honestly.
That's true,
Like, I do it a lot in the beginning, and then I'm like, okay, I'm kind of done with this now.
Outskirts is my favorite one to do it on, besides that.
Outskirts is fun. I like doing it on the level near the end where you're on the Covenant, the giant Covenant thing with Master Chief. You can get above everyone and just walk past everybody all the way to the end.
Okay.
The problem is you have to do it after you do the Marines.
When you do the ODST drop or whatever, where everyone drops down into that ruins or whatever, if you go to the right away, there's a way to break the map and go up that hill, and you can go all the way to the end of that level, just walking
over
hills.
A ghost.
That's fair, yeah.
Yeah, because you could just get out and just... That's where you just, like, explore the map. But that's where if you switch it back to... The new version, you switch it to the new version, I mean, they just have a bunch of trees up there, so you can't see what you're doing.
That's true.
And I'm like, okay, guys, I get it. You're trying to hide it. Fuck off. Get out of here.
Hey, man. They didn't fix a lot of the code or anything, so they gotta make it look like you can't get
through
it.
They're growing trees in rock, Steven. In rock. There's no dirt up there. It was all rock.
Doesn't matter, man.
Apparently not.
It's just background. You're not supposed to actually be back there.
I know, but it's cool that in the original, like, that's half the charm of the game is just to fuck around in the
oh yeah
in the outside the map. Beyond. Like, yeah, honestly. And then the multiplayer maps too. That's half the fun. Was just, you know, super jumping and doing shit like that. This had one probably the best multiplayer of all time.
It's still like, hands down one of the best multiplayers.
No, not still. I wouldn't argue still. After the Master Chief Collection came out, I think it like had a big resurgence for like a day, and then everyone's like, okay, now we remember why we don't play this anymore.
So I guess at its time, though, it was the quintessential multiplayer. Yes. Like, it was the only reason to get on Team Xbox.
Yeah, and I mean, this game literally built online play.
Yes, it really did.
This game, like, there was online play before, you know, the biggest one being Doom back in the 90s. That's when people really started saying, oh, we could play online and do fun shit. That's awesome. Yeah. But then Halo 2 comes out, and Xbox is, like, trying to streamline their new Xbox Live service, because other people had tried this internet thing and it's never worked out. Sega tried it and it sucked. Nintendo tried it, it sucked. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone's trying it and it sucks. It sucks balls to get on the internet on a console.
Yeah.
So they're like, okay, we got to figure out a good way to do this. What if we control all the matchmaking? What if we do all of that?
Yep.
What if we have people build for us and then we do all the control for it?
Yep.
And Halo 2 was just the launch, and Xbox comes up to them and says, hey, can we take your thing and have it be our launch? Because we need something better. Because before that, I think you could get on MechAssault online, but nobody did it because MechAssault sucked online. And like, there are a bunch of games you could do it with, but they weren't very good.
Mm-hmm.
And then Halo 2 kind of let them take control of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because before this, it was all the fucking game companies controlling it.
Yeah.
So the platform itself didn't get any control, so it made it really hard for the platform and the game to communicate with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And Microsoft then just said, well, we make Halo, so we'll just fucking take control of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it worked out perfect for fucking them. Yeah. That was great. Great fucking game, honestly. This game is probably one of the best games that have ever been made.
Yeah.
So.
That's fair. That's fair. Especially for
his time. Got anything else?
Not really.
No? Then let's fucking go.
All right. It's time for reviews. All right, so we're at that part of the episode where I read some of your reviews and we find out if you are a little bitch boy like myself or if you are valid in your excuses and whines or complaints.
I hope they're all about Legendary.
There is a couple, I believe. I didn't find any 1 or 2 star reviews, so the lowest I have are 3 star reviews. I do have some 3 and 5 star reviews.
I kind of wish there were a lot of 1 star that just said, this game's unplayable.
Yeah, again, it's a kind of hard game to find reviews for. It's not like a game that's on Steam and really easy. Yeah. A lot of newer things are just about the entire Master Chief Collection, just kind of like what I said with the Battle Network. Yeah, but I did find some, so let's go with it. So, first one, I won't lie, Halo 2 is a masterpiece, but it makes me to give it 3 stars. That's how it says. Is the bugs it has a bug that the weapon models just become big enough that it clips through walls and other very bad glitches. I can't ignore other than it's worth a 5 star. Maybe it gets fixed in Master Chief Collection, but I don't have that much specs for my Master Chief Collection right now. It's like the worst worded review ever.
Yeah, I have no idea what he said.
I just laugh because he's like, this game is a complete masterpiece. It's totally worth 5 stars, but there's some weird bugs with your gun models being big and it making it clip through walls and other very bad glitches that he can't ignore, so he has to give it a 3-star review, even though it's, other than those minor bugs, it's a 5-star game.
Interesting.
I'm like, then you're a little bitch boy. Like,
yeah, I would say so.
Because I don't even know what
this is a great game besides the fact that my gun sometimes goes through a wall.
Yeah, I was like, who cares if your gun goes through a wall? You can't give it a great game. You say this game's a masterpiece was your first sentence. You can't say it's a masterpiece and then be like, but it has so horrible, terrible bugs that it's not even worth it. Like, what?
I mean, the bugs make the game best, honestly, so.
Bugs can bring character to it. It can ruin a game or bring in character. At this point, it brings character. True.
I did a good job in this one.
All right, another 3-star review. Good, but really repetitive. I think Combat Evolved was the best one and that they have strayed from its purity with each iteration.
Okay. Interesting. He just really likes Combat Evolved.
Apparently. I don't know if I agree with that.
Like, I mean, I don't have to agree with it. It's his fucking review.
It's his fucking review.
He's not complaining. He's just saying, I like Combat Evolved better.
I don't necessarily think it's really repetitive, though, either.
Yeah, if he thinks it's again, it's his review. He gets to.
That's fair.
Unless he says something that's like completely outlandish, like some of these people do, I'm not gonna like sit here and finagle it.
True. All right, I'll do a good review now. Halo 2 was simply ahead of its time. The campaign itself offered endless variety from mission to mission. Play as the Covenant, taking on a bunch of heretics with unique armor. Watch the brutes and elites fight each other in a civil war as the Master Chief, and defend the space station from the Covenant invasion. Every mission felt so unique, which made it extremely enjoyable. The multiplayer is also what made this franchise blow up. The new weapons and competitive modes were revolutionary. No long review needed. This game is simply amazing.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think that's a pretty good review there.
Yeah, sure. Again, his opinion. He's not saying, like, I don't like this game because they have a pistol. And my dad shot himself with a pistol. So, I mean, I'm kind of like red flagging this game right now. Because I think my dad played it and then he died because he shot himself with a pistol because of Halo 2. That would be a weird review.
That would be a really bad review.
That would be, I'd be like, what are you fucking talking about? Sounds like your dad needed help.
Yeah.
But it's not, that would be a very, like, I don't even know how to put that, like a shit opinion on the game.
It's not even like necessarily opinion on the game, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, that's what a lot of the reviews we get. It's like, I don't like this game because at one time in Band Camp.
I don't like this game because lesbians exist.
Yeah. Like the weirdest reasons to not like a game, your personal views coming into the gameplay. That's really very, very strange.
All right, here's one for difficulty. 3-star review. Honestly, I think Combat Evolved is better than this. Not about the graphics and the guns, but about the damn difficulty. The jackals can literally one-shot you, and the worst thing is that there's no waypoint, so you're just stuck in a giant loop. Pros are that there are new features like dual-wielding and all. Better guns are there. The difficulty is probably the biggest problem. Bungie should do some tweaking, and I'll accept this game as the best one in the entire series. I've died more times in the first chapter than in the whole game of Combat Evolved. Great game, but just ridiculous difficulty spike.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah. I mean, again, we talked about it. There's a big difficulty spike between Halo 1 and Halo 2. They really, I think because people were getting through the first one so easily, they're like, let's fuck them over.
Yeah.
So.
I'll do one last review. This is a little bit longer, but a 5-star review. While the ending of the campaign was infamous in 2004, I still consider the story to be the best part of in the entire series. The writing was great, as well as the character development. The idea of stepping into the Covenant's shoes for once was a great idea. It showed the harshness of their punishments for something the Arbiter didn't have control over really felt unfair, and it shows how these acts of suppression and unfairness lead to the downfall of the Prophets. And the idea is that the whole reason the elites are against humanity is because they were lied to and tricked against each other. Seeing the Gravemind cutscene where the Arbiter refuses to believe what he's hearing from Chief, calmly talking to him and seeing all three sides of the war come together in one room and be non-hostile towards each other is a great way to show that there are more to the war than humans good, aliens bad.
Okay. I would call that guy a little bitch boy.
Why would you call that one a little bitch boy?
Because that one's a little too long. Like, I really like this one scene where Arbiter and Gravemind and Master Chief are all having a calm discussion. I'm like, Gravemind is literally, like, tentacle raping them.
No, he's forcing not.
Them to hear what he has to say.
He's got tentacles. He's got his tentacles wrapped around them just to stop them from running
and
or going away.
Why would you describe that in a normal sense, Steven?
Because it is a normal sense in the game?
If someone's tied up in what you assume to be an underground bunker...
Okay, but he also saved both of your lives in the process of bringing you to him?
No, your suit is compressed and can handle space. I assume it can handle water, too.
Okay, I mean, I don't think so. Especially
never really
pressure.
Make clear how he grabbed them?
Yeah, no, I don't fully get that, but I do get what he's saying with this, because it's something that a lot of games are getting praised for today, especially games like The Last of Us, where they show you both sides of the argument of who's really the good guy, who's really the bad guy. I do like that they did bring that up, and not a lot of people bring that into attention when talking about Halo. They're just like, oh, the gameplay, the multiplayer, awesome, the story's really good, but you don't hear about the actual, like, battle and struggle of the
Arbiter. The elites are still the bad guy. Like, that's just what it is. Are they not the good... Yes, they're all not the good guy because they... So if you ever read the books, here's where it gets weird.
Well, yeah, I know. The books are
don't really
different.
Follow each other.
Yeah.
Is that the first people to attack were the Covenant against the humans.
Because they were lied to.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, because they found a planet that had Forerunner technology and they didn't have the control over the humans, so they just took it from them.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, this is kind of those things that a lot of people in wars talk about where both sides are both good and bad because they're just listening to their leaders. It's not necessarily that any of the elites themselves are bad and they're the bad guys. They're literally doing the same job that the Marines are doing and the same job that Master Chief is doing.
So here's the weird part is both of them believe that the Forerunners are gods.
Yes.
So that's where it's like, it's hard to say that, well, the elites were lied to. I'm like, well, the elites and both the elites... And like they're the Sangeli and the Sanxiume. That's the name of the races. The Sanxiume also believe that the Forerunners are good. It's not like one of them believes and the other one knows the truth, and then they just say fuck it. We're going to lie to the elites. Like both of them actually believe. They all both think that this is what's going to happen, and they're just both. One of them decided to look past it, and one of them did it at the end. So it's I don't know if that makes them a good guy if they just look past it. They still killed a bunch of people to get there.
I mean, both sides killed a bunch of people to get there.
Well, no, only they did.
Okay, and you as Master Chief didn't kill any aliens. You killed no Covenant,
no.
You killed no elites.
No, because they were defending themselves. You know they never attacked a planet, right?
Okay, defy the fact that I don't care who's defending or attacking, killing happened on both sides
the equivalent amount. If you wanted to make a clear bad guy, good guy, you'd pick the attacker as the bad guy and the defender as the good guy.
If you want to make a clear bad guy, it's either the brutes or it's the leader of the covenants, the prophets. Those are the real bad guys. But I don't think the elites are the bad guys.
The elites end up being bad guys too. Again, they all believed it. If you read the books, like you know the like history they tried to put forward, that they really didn't do a good job in the game with the story. But they all believed. In the end, even the grunts were bad guys technically because they fucking believed. They believed everything they were doing was right. So
well, and so does humanity. Yeah, everyone in humanity believes what they're doing is right.
Yeah, not wanting to die. That's what they believe at that moment. They're getting they're getting attacked. They're not pushing Covenant fleets. They can't because they don't have the technology to.
Okay.
They just defend. That's all they do.
They defend. They also pursue after the defense.
No, they never do.
Okay.
They literally the books made it very clear. There's a whole thing called
the
Cold Initiative.
Well, the games did not, and we're talking about the games.
The games didn't do a good job, I think, like displaying the books.
I know.
They really did a smart thing with making the books because they did. Expand on the game's lore.
But just like with movie reviews, you can't bring the books into it because bringing the books into it is completely different stories. They're not
This one is a specific review where he's like, this is cool, everyone's on the same team, and you're like, Gravemind was never on your team. And that was the
he
other
didn't
thing
say
about
that Gravemind was
games.
On your team.
What
he didn't say that Gravemind was on your team.
Well, he said it was cool to see all the perspectives. I'm like, well, you saw one perspective that was fucked up.
You saw all three sides of the war. You saw the perspective
of
all...
No, Gravemind lied. Remember they all both said, oh, shit, Gravemind lied to us.
Yes, but in that moment, you're seeing three sides of the war. I don't care what happened afterwards.
You see Gravemind lying.
No, you see three sides. You see Gravemind's side, Chief's side, and Arbiter's side.
Yeah.
That's three. There's three people with three different stories.
Well, the weird part is they also, in that part of the game, and we'll talk
activating
about
the ring
more,
destroys everything.
Well, I know, but it doesn't destroy the flood. That's the weird part.
Okay, but it destroys everything within like a insane, it destroys
and
entire
even,
galaxies worth of space.
Even destroying all their food didn't destroy the flood, technically, because they activated it at one point.
Well, nothing destroys the flood fully.
Well, like, what I remember. Like they said, like, this is the only way to kill all the Flood is to get rid of all their food, and then it didn't work. So why does the Flood even care if they fucking activate the rings? That's my question.
Is the Flood trying to activate the rings? The Flood? I don't know. The Flood's trying to do anything but just consume.
They remember he's trying to... Gravemind wanted to prevent it.
Yeah, he wanted to prevent the ring from blowing up because that blows up everything.
Yeah, but then if you... Not blowing up, you're activating.
Yeah, activating it blows up everything.
If it activated, it kills everything except for the Flood. But then the Flood survived anyway because they already activated all the rings at one point.
I mean, yes,
but the Forerunners did. But then the Flood. But everything also.
Oh, the same way humans are still around. The same way Covenant's still around. What do you?
No. Those were very specific why they're still around. Remember, it's explained in 3.
No, because we're talking about Halo 2.
Okay, let's move on. You're not as into Halo lore as me. So
I'm talking about Halo 2 because that's the game that I play just right now. I haven't played Halo 3 since it came out.
Move on.
All right, so let's go to the next section.
It's story time. Let's get started.
All right, read us the story, Scott.
I wasn't going to try to condense this all into a... Some of these are really fucking hard to condense into, like, a summary, and Halo's one of those stupid fucking games where it's like, there's a lot happening all around you at every fucking interval of time.
And there's, like...
There's, like, 5 different fucking stories going on in Halo 2. At any given moment.
Yes.
So I'm just going to read from Wikipedia, guys. Sorry. They have people they pay for this shit, so, or people who are really into doing this. So Halo 2 opens with the trial of Covenant Elite Commander aboard the Covenant's capital city of High Charity. For his failure to stop Halo's destruction, the Elite is stripped of his rank, branded a heretic, and tortured by Tartarus, the chieftain of the Covenant Brutes. Spared execution, the Covenant leadership, the High Prophets of Truth, Regret, and Mercy, give the Elite the chance to become an Arbiter, a rank given to Elites in times of great crisis or turmoil. As the Arbiter, the Elite quells a rebellion and recovers the 343 Guilty Spark. On Earth, Fleet Admiral Hood commands the Master Chief and Sergeant Avery Johnson, commends Avery Johnson for their actions at the first Halo, with Commander Miranda Keyes accepting a medal on behalf of her deceased father, Captain Jacob Keyes. A Covenant fleet suddenly appears near Earth. In the ensuing battle, a single ship carrying the Prophet of Regret slips through the Earth's defenses and besieges the African city of New Mombasa. Master Chief assists in repelling the invasion. With the fleet destroyed, Regret makes a hasty slipspace jump, and Keyes, Johnson, Cortana, and Master Chief follow aboard a UNSC ship in amber clad. The crew discovers another Halo installation. Realizing the danger the ring presents, Key sends Master Chief to kill Regret, while she and Johnson search for the Index, Halo's activation key. Responding to Regret's distress call, High Charity and the Covenant fleet arrive at the Halo. After Master Chief kills Regret, the Covenant bombard his location. He falls into a lake where he is dragged away by a tentacle. Regret, death. Triggers discord among the races of the Covenant as the Prophets give the Brutes and the Elites traditional role as honor guard. The Arbiter subdues Johnson and Keyes and retrieves the Index. Tartarus appears and reveals that the Prophets have ordered the annihilation of the Elites and sends the Arbiter falling down a deep chasm. The Arbiter meets the Master Chief in the bowels of the Halo, brought together by a Flood creature called Gravemind. The Gravemind reveals to the Arbiter that the Great Journey is a lie and sends the two soldiers to different places to stop Halo's activation. The Master Chief is teleported to High Charity as the Covenant falls into civil war. The Flood-infested Amberclad crashes into the city, and Cortana realizes that the Gravemind used them as a distraction. As the parasite overruns the city, the Prophet of Mercy is consumed. As for Tartarus, the Prophet of Truth consigns him to Halo with Keyes, Johnson, and Guilty Spark to activate the ring. Master Chief follows Truth aboard the Forerunner ship before leaving the city. Cortana remains behind to destroy High Charity and Halo if Tartarus succeeds in activating the ring. On the surface of Halo, the Arbiter joins forces with Johnson and confronts Tartarus in Halo's control room. When the Arbiter tries to convince Tartarus that the Prophets have betrayed them, Tartarus instead activates the ring, and battle ensues. The Arbiter and Johnson kill Tartarus while Keyes removes the Index. The unexpected deactivation sets Halo and all the other rings on standby for remote activation from a place 343 Guilty Spark calls the Ark. Meanwhile, the troop ships arrives at Earth, and Master Chief informs Admiral Hood that he is finishing this fight. In a post-credit scene, Gravemind assumes control of High Charity. Cortana agrees to answer the Flood's intelligence questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that all happened.
It did.
So, my thing about this story, it's probably one of the worst fucking stories of all time, only because of a couple key factors here. The end was shit.
Okay.
Right? So the end, and they really messed up, I think, by making this a big cliffhanger and then making people wait like 5 years before they release the next game.
I don't hate cliffhangers as much as everybody else does. And
I don't hate them, but in this case, it was pretty, it's an insane cliffhanger. You're like, oh, I'm finally going to find out the truth of everything. And then it's like, yeah, no, we're just stopping it here.
Honestly, playing it again, I kind of like where it stopped.
Yeah, well, now you do, because you have the option to go in and learn the whole story through Wikipedia. But back in the day, you were like, no! Oh, like, it was like a bad fucking episode, like the ending episode of a season that they just left on a huge cliffhanger. You're just like, no! Why do you hate us so much?
I mean, cliffhangers are always annoying when you have to wait. I mean, we're dealing with the
same. It's a long fucking way. I mean, 5 years it took them to make Halo 3. I think it came out in 2007.
Yeah, and I know, like, sometimes cliffhangers don't even ever get answered.
Yeah, and in this case it did, although it got confusing. But, and then also, in this story, again, just a lot of things happening all at the same time.
Yeah.
Within a six-hour story.
I will say, because I never really, the first couple times I played through this game, I never really found the terminals or really cared to go to the terminals, and I tried
to see... terminals didn't exist. That's just Master Chief Collection.
Okay, I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
But
so that gives you a little bit extra story now. Back in the day, that would have been fucking awesome. But yeah,
that extra story now is really cool. Honestly, yeah, like,
cool seeing like the way they incorporated it from the books, because I think they incorporate all those things from the books.
Well, and seeing the heretics, like, talking to the Guilty Spark, talking to the Oracle, and, like, hearing all the things that they talk about, and then, like, hearing how he used to be friends with the Arbiter, and, like, thinking he's dead and all these things, but he's gonna be the key to everything. Like, it's a unique story that I found in there that I was really enjoying, and I was like, I still really, really enjoyed the story, like...
Yeah, it's still a cool story, it's just weird. The other weird part about this story is they really don't address... Now... Again, this is where the books come into play, because they actually purposely released three books in between Halo 1 and 2, the actual games, so they wouldn't have to tell the story in the game.
Yeah.
So, which I think is really stupid. They should have just told the fucking story in the fucking games.
I mean,
fair. Because not everyone even knew the books existed between those two times. They came out, they retold the story of the entire Halo 1, and then they did how Master Chief got home.
Yeah.
In the second one, and then I can't remember what the third one was about.
I mean, a lot of franchises...
Sorry, the first one was the prequel to all that, how they ended up in the Halo Halo ring sector.
A lot of franchises do that, though. I mean, one of the best franchises, Avatar The Last Airbender, like, the comics that take place between Avatar and Korra, you wouldn't get a lot of that story. Like, most people don't realize that Zuko is not the Fire Lord's son until you've read the comics, and that's such a huge thing and a huge part of the story that changes everything you've ever known and seen. But without that knowledge, like, there is some things that... And I think that's a lot of what people are having problems with, like, the MCU, is having to go to 18 different sources to know everything about this one thing.
I mean, remember, we've talked about this before, though. If you're going to, like, have this weird jump between the first game and the second game, put some fucking hidden shit in there to read about how Master Chief got home.
I mean, I do agree that there's... should be some story, but I mean, there is stories for people who want that story, they just have to seek it out. But I do go to just saying too, like, there should be just some things
I don't
in
know
there.
Put it in the fucking game, like, just like I said, you don't have to fucking make it a big part of the game, just throw some text somewhere in the game that people can read. I'm sure people at the time would have really appreciated that.
I mean, true.
I don't know if you remember playing this game when you first came out, but when I first played it, I'm like, how did he get... Why is he back on Earth? Because, like...
Honestly...
Because I even... at the time you even think about it, kind of, you're like, does this ship have a slipspace drive? Because if you watch Star Trek, that was the whole thing.
Yeah.
You're like, how did that little ship get all the way home? Did it have a fucking super too cool drive or something?
Honestly, when I first played these games, I didn't question shit. I just played the games.
Oh, that's crazy.
I just watched and played through the story and was like, this is fucking awesome. And it's kind of the same way. I find that I enjoy things just way more willingly than a lot of people. Like, I don't try to just, I don't know, like, especially with games like Halo, I guess I just don't ever, I never thought about the story too much in depth to find plot holes or find things that I didn't like or things that I nitpicked.
Well, you know, just those two things, I think if they fixed even one of them, it would have made the story absolutely perfect.
Yeah, it's kind of like,
you know,
oh, I was just going to say, it's kind of like you always bring up timelines in games, and it's something I hardly ever think about in games, because I'm like, playing the game.
I have no idea when this game, the first Halo ends and this game starts. I don't know if it's like months later or a year later or something like that, but I'm going to assume it's months later. I think it's like probably five to seven, I would guess.
Guessing it's just however long it took to get everyone back on the same ship to have that reward ceremony, because those are usually pretty quick after your return.
I don't know, because remember, they're in a different section of space.
I don't remember that.
From the first, you don't. Steven, when you look up in the sky, do you see a giant Halo ring?
There's a Halo ring in every Halo, so that doesn't make sense to me.
But when you look up in the sky when you were on Earth, is there a giant Halo ring?
No, I was on. I was. So then you assume that
there was no Halo ring. There was no Halo ring near Earth. Is all I'm saying.
I mean. Sure, I could have been on the other side of Earth. Different
part of space, but it was a really weird thing for them to choose not to do is explain his journey home, because that would have been probably a cool story. And then the way the book did it, they explained it so coolly.
As much as we want to say, like, we want more story after getting what we've got, I think a lot of people are turned off from too much story. And I think...
No, I don't think so. I don't think
100%, especially with shooters. With shooter games and shooter campaigns, there's a reason all campaigns of all game types.
I understand, and that's why my suggestion was just to throw it in text. Just
and that's...
documents you can find, just like other games
have. Totally fine, but I'm just saying, like, in all honesty, this game was... more for the multiplayer. This game was more for just being a first-person shooter. It wasn't, this story is the quintessential story of all time. And I don't know. I think they don't pay attention.
That was the weird thing. It ended up being the quintessential story, right? Because that's what the entire, the third game's all a fucking about that. Like, that's how they, this third game sold, and they ended this with a cliffhanger. If they didn't give a shit about the story, they should have just fucking finished it off with two.
I mean, true.
But they ended it with a cliffhanger to lead to 3, which, again, and then 3 just fucking blew the story out of proportion to insane levels. Like, that's where they really, and people, 3 was a lot of people's favorite game. So. Yep.
I mean, the trilogy of games that there is for the first 3 is just incredible, just to see how much they changed over the time and how much better they kept getting and all the different things they kept adding.
Yeah, but... point being, like, the story you're saying maybe didn't matter to a lot of people in the shooter, but then everyone's favorite is 3, which had literally the most story of any single Halo. Now, to be fair, it also had the most multiplayer, but the story played a huge part in the multiplayer too.
Yes, but most people I knew who played Halo 3 played the multiplayer. Most of them didn't play the story.
That's crazy. I can't believe they didn't play the story.
Like, besides, like, our normal, like, group of friends and people I know who like story games, like, story mode games, so many people buy a lot of these games and never play the story.
Yeah, some people do. I don't think as many people as you think there are, but...
I think there's way more of that. I think
most people who played Halo 3, Steven, played the campaign. I'm just going to go off on a limb and say that.
I'm going to say that a higher percentage than Call of Duty campaign players... but not as high as, like, most other games.
Maybe not as high as most other games that are single-player games, sure. But, I mean, like, I'm going to say, like, at least 90% of people who played Halo 3 played the story.
I'm going to say, like, maybe 65%.
You're insane, Steve.
I'm not.
You're out of your fucking mind.
I'm not.
You are. I'd love to. Guys, poll us. If you played Halo 3, send us an email. Let us know if you played the story.
Seriously, I'm gonna have to. I'll look at the achievement to see how many people have, like, beaten, like, each level and see if it's 100%
or 100% beat this on easy. You have to look at the original. Don't look at the Master Chief Collection, because basically no one played the story on there.
I mean, fair.
Because they already played it. They already played it in 2007.
Maybe. Or maybe that's their first time playing Halo for the first time, and they just did all the multiplayer.
Luckily, we can look at the achievements from 2007 and see what the percentage of people did it. So
I'll look it up, and I'll post it on TikTok or something.
For the most part, this story is really good. Just certain things are kind of dumb. They don't really explain what Gravemind is.
Yeah, which they do in the next game.
Barely. Like, it's really funny. Gravemind really gets a very little amount of explaining.
Which he's the most Gravemind interesting.
I thought he was the boss of the Flood, but as it turns out, when they, like, absorb a bunch of shit creatures, they gather all their intelligence together and then form a big brain.
Interesting.
And then creates a Gravemind. So Gravemind's not even, like, a single being. You can create like multiple Gravemind, which is really weird.
That is weird.
Yeah, but no explanation in the story about that. He just kind of find this guy, and he's like, I am not evil. I just, I kind of just eat people and living things, but you do too. Eat pigs and shit.
Yeah.
So, fuck you.
That's totally the same.
It's just fucking the same. Yeah, you don't need intelligent being, but whatever. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So what's cool, do you know the real story? And then this is going to be way off Halo 2, but do you know how the Flood formed?
No.
I had to look it up while I was playing because they're such a big deal in the first three, and then in the latter games, they're not really a big deal anymore. Yeah. But in the first three, they're the most big deal there is. And apparently, before the Forerunners, there was another race.
Interesting.
Called the Precursors, which... We've heard that before. A bunch of people call their before races the Precursors. It's like a big staple in just writing a story.
Yeah.
And the Precursors had to choose between the humans and the Forerunners to take their mantle as leaders of the galaxy.
Okay.
Okay, this is where the story gets really fucking dumb. They chose the humans. Forerunners were pissed. Forerunners started killing the Precursors.
Okay.
The Precursors go into hiding. And then, lock themselves into tubes.
Okay.
And then over, a million years or something, like a long fucking time, I don't know how long it was, but they turn into dust. Okay?
Okay.
Humans find this dust.
Snort
and they
it.
Start use, and they start using it, to calm down their pets.
Okay.
It's a really weird fucking
what the fuck?
Story, dude. Yeah, so
what
they're
is
calming
this?
Down their... I don't know what they are. They're not dogs, but they're basically dog-like.
Okay.
So they're calming down their pets with them, and over the next 100 or so years, the dust starts mutating them.
Okay.
And becomes a parasite.
Okay.
And that becomes a Flood.
Okay. Weird.
So the Precursors become dust, and because they... And the explanation in the story I read was... And this is from one of the books they wrote.
Okay.
Is that they were so angry at the Forerunners for killing them... That their negative emotion turned them into the Flood.
Oh, Jesus.
It's the dumbest fucking story in the world, is it not? Is
yeah,
that not the
it's,
dumbest
it's pretty
fucking
dumb.
Story you've ever... Oh, my God. I was like, are you fucking serious? This is what you guys came up with?
Okay.
What the fuck is this trash?
So I have an update. While you were telling me about the Flood, I looked up the achievement from the original Halo 3.
All right, let's see it.
The first mission... Landfall is the name of the achievement. Completed the first mission of the campaign. 44.72% completed the first mission.
I can't believe that. That's insane.
For the campaign, it's 21.91%.
Oh, but for the achievement.
That's for the campaign, but just for the first mission, which if you complete the first mission on... Yes.
Surprised.
This is the original.
I am very, very surprised.
I have it right there.
Oh, that's crazy.
But literally the very first mission, only 44% of people who played the game beat the first mission on any difficulty.
How do they get that number, I guess?
It's literally if you played the game and you beat the mission, you get the achievement. And that's...
Yeah.
So they do it by the number of people who've played the game. So if you boot up the game, it's that number of percentage of people who've got that achievement versus the number of people who've booted up the game.
Interesting.
So that's why I said,
that's really weird, dude. I don't think that's normal. I
that is normal. In most, if you look up most campaigns and you look up the achievements and you look up, how many people have completed the first mission or have completed the story in the mission, it is a lower percentage than you would ever think.
That's insane.
In almost every game.
What's the point in buying the fucking game?
That's my point, and that's what I'm telling you. I think, like, we're in a weird minority of people that enjoy stories. Like, most people play...
I don't want to play the story. I want to jump off the edge.
The average, just like...
You know what? Forget that number. Forget the number.
Why?
Because it's not... The problem with those numbers is it doesn't include people who made multiple accounts, which back in the day was a fucking shit ton, because remember you used to get the free 7-day trials? And you had to make a new account every time you got the free 7-day trial.
I mean, okay.
So, I don't know. That's a hard number. I'm sure it's still low, because 44% is still a low number, but I bet it's a little bit above 44% for that first mission.
Yeah.
Just based on how many people... Because remember how many people would get banned for cheating, too, back in the day?
Yeah, but that didn't ban you from the story. It banned you from online.
Oh, well, I mean, it banned you from playing, so then you would create another account, and then that account would get logged in a number... And that number includes playing the story or not.
Yeah.
Play the story on that account. You already played it on your first account. Or in that case, maybe that's your 19th account because you got banned for cheating 19 times.
You, because Xbox Live was tied to accounts. So yeah. You didn't always have Xbox Live remember, on different accounts.
They used to, yeah, no, back in the day, you had to have Xbox Live. They didn't have silver memberships.
No, I know.
Remember? That didn't come out till much later.
I know.
So you couldn't just make a second account. You had to use the 7-day trial things to do temporary games and then throw your cheats on there and then do it again.
True.
I used to have a bunch of people who did that. It's really funny because they're like, don't worry, dude. I got this. I'm going to do this. We're going to win this easy. And then you just super speed around the map while just never missing, shooting at a wall and somehow killing someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I bet that takes into account. I'm sure that number is still low because 44% is still fucking low.
Yeah.
But it's probably closer to 60.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, that's closer to what I, like, yeah. I guessed.
All right. But anyway, yeah, the flood story was the dumbest fucking story I think I've ever had to just sit there and read. And I'm like, they really should have just kept the games a little bit more streamlined. And then Bungie should have never given it up.
They keep changing all their stories. Like, the stories in the books are different than the games, and the stories in the show, I haven't watched the show, but those...
I'm not
going to
fucking...
I'm not going to.
They've tried that so many times, and every time they get fucked.
Dude, it's so annoying. Like, I saw a trailer for the second season, and Master Chief is being a dick to Cortana. I was like, okay, fuck right off, because he would never...
He said, like, 15 words during the entire game. What the fuck are we talking about?
He talks to her all the fucking time. What are you talking about?
No, remember the first two games. He barely says anything through the first two games.
But he still does talk, and he does talk
to
her.
But it's like, if he's being a dick, that would mean he's actually having to say more than the, like, 15 words he said during the first two games.
Okay, whether the amount of...
He starts communicating
with
her a little
bit. The amount of words that are said aside, he's never a dick to Cortana.
Well, he's never that, but he also, again, he doesn't have the amount of words in the first two games to be a fucking dick, I think.
I mean, I could be a dick with two words.
I know, but, like, I don't... You know what I'm saying. Like, there's not a lot...
I get what you're saying. Yeah, so I get what you're saying. They're doing a lot more him having his helmet off and stuff, which is also a thing... That's really
stupid.
Because
they have to pay the guy who's in the fucking suit. He only gets money if he's on screen time.
I mean, he gets money as a voice actor, too.
Like, why did Spider-Man, like, ever take... Whenever he's Spider-Man, you notice he takes off his mask a lot while he's in the rest of the Spider-Man gear and while he's fighting.
He doesn't take off his mask during fights.
So if you watch the first three movies recently, like I did, he actually does take it off quite a bit while he's fighting. He's like, look, it's me, it's Peter. And then
Tom Holland does it
a few times.
He does it to show who he is to the people he's fighting to stop the fight. That is not the same.
But they wrote that in there specifically because they have to write in that this person is Spider-Man and they have to prove it by taking off their mask. I read a whole thing about this. It was really fucking funny. It's so they can pay the actor more. Or the actor requests it, so people assign them as Spider-Man, so then they get paid more later on.
Now,
it's really interesting how they do that.
I know
that's what they're doing with Master Chief.
I know a lot of people complained about that with Venom in Spider-Man 3, the original Spider-Man 3.
Well, and I'm sure, again, they did it because the guy wanted money. Like, that's how you get money.
Yeah.
For screen time. Otherwise, that's all CGI, I think. That's like 90% CGI.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you're still voice acting. It's not like you're not doing anything.
And you're still, like, doing the CGI work, so
and
I don't understand.
If you're still doing the
matters,
motion capture or whatever, then you're still doing
it.
Yeah,
it still fucking matters. It's like the screen time for your face is more important than the money you get from doing the.
Which I know actual actors, I shouldn't say actual actors, screen actors. Screen actors do always get paid way more than voice actors do. I know that's a big thing, but
yeah, so
it's just, it's annoying because it's the same.
That's what I assume with Master Chief is they do a lot of the helmet off thing. Cause,
maybe.
Because otherwise he's not making any fucking money, that actor isn't.
But yeah, I don't know.
And plus, it gives you like, if you're trying to apply for another screen job, I assume having your face on camera helps your applications later.
Oh, 100%. Because if you can be a visibly good actor and show great emotion,
like,
and
he's
stuff
behind
in your
a
face,
fucking set of armor all the time. Fuck this guy. Get him out of here.
Yeah, because it's one thing
I'm
to
sure
show.
That's why they do it. It just ruins 100%. The fucking aspect of Halo. That's the problem with it.
Yes.
Like the whole cool part of Halo is you really don't know what Master Chief looks like.
Well. And even in the stories, and even in all the games, all the books, no matter what, he takes off his helmet like a total of like 4 times.
Yeah. The end. I think the only on screen is the end of Halo 1, right, where he takes it off right at the end.
Yeah, but you don't see it. Yeah.
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 Oh, I don't know. It's really weird. But yeah, that's pretty much story. It's good, guys. It's not bad. It by any means. I would have liked a little bit more about what happened in between Halo 1 and Halo 2.
I still really enjoy it, and maybe if I played the games like sync. Like right after each other, yeah. I would pay attention to that more and catch on to that more. But just playing it as it's its own game, I really enjoyed the story. Like not thinking about anything
else. Good.
Yeah.
It's not bad. But, you know,
yeah.
There's some stuff that they could add in there. Just
I mean, there's always ways to improve it, but for sure, there's a lot of things that are wrong with this game.
All right, guys. Sorry, my computer fucked up again, and we had to. Stop in the middle and then start up again today.
Yes.
So this is a post-day finish up of the episode with some reflection, which is actually nice because I got to look up some more information about it. So
fair.
So yeah, and then one of my favorite things I looked up, I already texted to Steven, is apparently Halo 2 was the best-selling Xbox game.
Yeah.
I had no fucking clue. Yeah.
And it's by a big margin, too, like 3 million.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Well, and it was like the next best selling is Halo 1. So it's like, well, fuck. They just controlled the market, I guess. But that's totally fair. I was telling you yesterday, I can't remember any Xbox games I actually played or liked that weren't on other consoles.
Yeah, there's not very many exclusive. Gears of War is another one that people talk
about.
That's
360.
Oh yeah, you're talking original Xbox.
That's the insane part. Is I can't think of any original Xbox. I can think of a bunch of 360 games that I really enjoyed that weren't on other consoles, but none on the original Xbox, which is crazy. I think that was just everyone was trying to kind of capture game studios and keep them in their neck of the woods.
I don't know if like the Rare. Oh no, that was 362. Never mind. A lot of the things I think of 360, I can't think of any original Xbox games.
I remember these crap games for Xbox that turned out okay, but they weren't amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Mech Assault. That's the only other one I can think about.
Okay. Well, I do enjoy Mech Assault games.
Yeah. The first one was just an unforgettable experience. That first Mech Assault was probably one of the best games I've ever played in my life.
Yeah, I really liked
the second
first
one
Mech
really
Assault.
Sucked.
Yeah.
So
that's fair.
So yeah, so we'll just get right into this. We'll finish up what we were doing yesterday with our last segment. We are now in what our rating is. So let's do this. Let's go. You and me, what's your rating?
Oh, I pressed the button.
Yeah, a little while ago, right?
Oh. Oh, I thought you were talking about the,
no, I was
the
just
worth
saying,
or
go
not.
Right in.
Ah. I get what you're saying now. I was pressing the recording button. I thought that's what you meant by press the button.
No.
Well, I pressed that at a weird time. But yes, rating of the game, obviously being a huge Halo player, and this is one of the games that really got me into gaming the most, I gotta say this is still an absolute love. Totally worth it in every way, especially with the Master Chief collection. I think that entire collection's completely worth it. You get what, 6-7 games in that thing now? I can't even remember.
The first three Halo first three Halos, Halo Reach and ODST.
Yeah.
Is the fourth Halo in there?
I can't remember if four is, but and Reach was an add-on that you could add to. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's like five-ish? Five or six games?
Yeah, I think it's six games. Yeah.
Oh, Well, not too bad. I'm going to go Worth 2. One thing we didn't really explicitly talk about a lot was the multiplayer. Guys, yeah. You don't understand. If you never played this in 2004, like, you have no idea how good the multiplayer was.
This was our Fortnite.
Yeah, this is literally Fortnite for everyone in our generation. Like, it is crazy how many people played the fucking multiplayer nonstop. Oh, I looked up numbers. It was like, in the first couple months, it was attracting 5 million people a day or 3 million people a day or something.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty insane number for back then, when like gaming now is kind of like up there with it's acceptable. Back in the day, if you admitted you were a gamer in class, you would get bullied for that shit.
Yeah.
Which is really fucking stupid and weird, but that's what happened.
I mean, definitely...
Your parents would be upset with you because they didn't want you fucking wasting your life gaming. Like, this is a whole thing. Like,
a lot of girls didn't want to date gamers because they were just... everyone thought gamers as fat slobs who didn't care, didn't go outside, didn't go do anything.
TV portrayed them as that. Yep. It's really funny. It's interesting when you get down to the nitty-gritty. Now gaming is a lot more acceptable.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a whole fucking platform, you know, in Twitch for gamers.
I was going to say, it's a whole, like, thing and trend and stuff now. Like, even in, like, TikTok videos, girls are like, I need to find a gamer guy because they're loyal and they just want to be home and they're not going to go out and cheat on me. And it's like, yeah.
That's weird. Those are really weird reasons to date someone, but you do you, girl. You do you.
I can do my own things while he games. We can have our own lives, still be our own people.
I mean, and you can do that whether they game or not. You just find different interests, I guess.
Yeah, but other interests like gym bros want you to go to the gym with them. Gamers don't necessarily make you game with them.
Oh, I don't know a lot of gym bros who actually like taking people to the gym with them. They just like being there by themselves.
Every single person I know that goes to the gym has tried to convince me to go to the gym with them or has made me go to the gym with them on one occasion.
Are they doing that because they feel like you're dying because of how fat you are, or are they doing that because they want to impress you with how big they are?
Both.
Okay. Sounds like it's 50-50 good, I guess. literally, guys, we cannot overstate how much the multiplayer in this game was so fucking popular.
This game was
insane with popularity with that.
Yeah.
So with the multiplayer aspect in there, I'm giving this like a mega worth. Because you can't do this game in the old days without talking about the multiplayer, but the campaign is a worth by itself. I will say this is not one you can just jump into and understand what's happening.
True.
There is a lot of media behind this. You know, we talked about the books, there's other games and everything that you kind of have to play or read in order to get the full scope of what Halo really is, which is unfortunate because, you know, that kind of makes the gamers gaming it like a one-off game harder. But in the end, I would suggest if you're going to play the Halo, play Halo 2, play all of the fucking Halos, you know?
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion on it. But you could play this game by itself. It just
would You be could. Weird. It would just be... Like, you wouldn't understand some of the things, and just, like, you wouldn't understand the backgrounds of it, but of, like, a lot of the characters. And, like, what do you mean there was a Halo ring that was destroyed? Wait, the Arbiter almost died last game? Like, what?
Well, the Arbiter wasn't even in the first game, and he's the most important character. Yeah, it's just strange.
He was in the last game, but he's now the Arbiter.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, he was there, but behind the scenes.
True.
He never came in contact. True. They never mentioned him. It wasn't his story at all, so.
Like, yeah.
Fair. He's there, but fucking where, you know?
Yeah.
You know what we didn't mention in this, too?
What's that?
You mentioned you really liked the upgraded graphics.
Yeah.
Did you see Miranda Keys upgraded?
Yeah.
God, they made her so fucking ugly.
She was, like, the ugly. Like,
no, but if you...
Ugly or anything,
did you press the button to see what she looked like?
I didn't do it on every scene or something. I did it on a few things. Like, I definitely did it on, like, Gravemind and a couple other scenes like that. But
so I looked at her.
Keys.
She is so much... They made her nose so much bigger in this one for some reason. And I thought that was really... I'm like, why'd they do this? This is strange. Maybe they figured it out.
I do think Cortana looks better in the old version as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I like the color scheme better. I like the actual just general look of her. I think they changed her look and made her more purple and like definitely like added some different features that I wasn't as on board with.
Yeah, for sure. The several things were a little iffy in the remake. A lot of things were great, but several things I was like, hey, guys, come on. Fucking.
It's
you strayed a little bit too far. Let's bring it back.
But for the most part, the updated graphics are really nice.
They were good. Yeah. I just hated Miranda Keys. I'm like, ugh. Oh, fair. God, it's a bridge troll. Get her out of here.
She wasn't that bad.
It was just funny seeing the difference, and I'm like, wow, they really went hardcore on this. That's strange. Yeah. But maybe they were trying to make her look more like the... You know, with games, they generally try to make them look
like kind of
realistic.
Or, yeah.
Well, kind of realistic, but not really like the actors. Just more, they prettify people.
Yeah.
So they don't like them being ugly for some reason, even though, you know, people come in all shapes and sizes kind of deal.
You call me
so
ugly?
Maybe they were just trying to, well, I mean, just in general, people don't, not everyone is traditionally attractive.
That's fair.
So.
Yeah.
So when you think about that, and then you play a game, and everybody in the game is traditionally attractive, you're like, this must be the top 1%. What, they kill all the ugly people?
Yeah.
They find them at birth. They throw them to the alligators like the Egyptians said.
Hey,
damn.
Just like they said in Zombieland, for obvious reasons, the first ones to go are the fatties.
Yeah. So I think they did make it a little bit more robust and like approachable in that regard, but it's just interesting how they changed her so much. It is quite a big difference between her original and her now.
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
But yeah, this game, totally worth it.
100%.
Totally a worthwhile buy, a worthwhile play. So you guys should get out there and play it if you've never played it before.
Do it.
Yeah.
Woo! And then
I agree with a lot of the reviews with that, too, where they said, like, because, you know, my favorite Halo story is Halo 1.
Okay. Because
I really enjoy all the missions in it. And to be fair, the last mission in Halo 1 is way better than the last mission in Halo 2.
Fair. Yeah,
the lab mission in Halo 1 is just like one of the most fun fucking missions you'll ever have in your life.
Drive
but the Halo 2 one, you're like, eh, this is not as cool, but it's still cool. You love,
yeah.
You get the goosebumps when he says, finishing this fight.
Yeah, there is a lot of aspects that I do enjoy about the story of 2, but there is some
bosses.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah, introducing a little bit of bosses in there.
True.
Yeah.
Fair. All right, well, next week's game is Slay the Princess.
This is a game all about women beating and domestic violence and how men are better. So let's do it.
Yeah, so join us for that.
I don't think it's about any of those things.
Well, it is a horror love story.
Yeah. So join us next week for Slay the Princess, guys. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.